Mário Soldado, toque pra ele, pintou o gol!
Yeah, welcome to a brand new Hot Spurs podcast. It is Tuesday, the 4th of March, 2014. I'm Steve, I'm in Leigh-on-Sea in Essex, and we've got the return of the Mac. It is Colin from Northern Ireland. How are you doing, Cole?
Yes, doing well, mate, doing well. Apologies for not being about for the last few weeks.
Gallivanting with your mates.
I've been gallivanting around Portugal, you know, so doing a wee bit of Skype.
What you found out? Anything interesting?
I found ABB land down in Villamura.
We want him back, don't we? People are demanding he come back. What's going on?
You never know.
No, I don't think he'll come back. Right, mate. What we'll do then is we'll get straight into the football. We've not done a show for a couple of weeks for one reason or the other. We had a great show with Paul Miller a couple of weeks ago, and he was brilliant. Open about all his career and what have you, and very supportive of Tim Sherwood, which of course we will get into later on. But what we'll do is we'll kind of combine the three games, the Norwich, the Dnipro and the Cardiff game, all similar really, because we played atrociously in all three, bar a 5-minute spell in the Dnipro game and periods in the first half of the Cardiff game. Not very good. What are your thoughts, Cole?
Yeah, great. Obviously we went to do the Norwich game last week before I went off, but unfortunately my son was quite ill, so we just couldn't get it out. But it was maybe quite fortunate that we didn't get that game out, because they were terrible, Steve, against Norwich. It was just like an absolute setback. And for some reason, we always seem to do this. If you think of the West Broms, Norwich before, Wiggins, whenever Spurs are due, when they should win this crucial game, we just never seem to be able to do it. But, from the kick-off that game against Norwich, I knew after 5-10 minutes, just nothing was going to happen. And the football that day was terrible. It really was. And one of the things that I put on Twitter and so on was about Christian Eriksen was sitting there on the bench, and for me, it was an absolute crime that guy didn't come on. It was crying out for someone creative just to come in to maybe try and unlock that Norwich defence, and unfortunately he just never brought the guy on. And as I always say, it's so frustrating to sit and see that guy there on the bench for us, and it was terrible. It really was. And I know Sherwood's been getting a lot of stick, and I'm not a big lover of him, as you know. But, he just looked absolutely clueless that day. And, I was very, very angry, very, very annoyed about the performance.
Well, he brought Chadley on, didn't he? Because he scored that great goal at Newcastle. And he thought, he scored that great goal. He came on, he played terrific. I think I'll give him a go. The trouble with doing something like that is that, when you saw Kapu going off, you thought, right, the person to bring on is Eriksen.
Yeah.
And so what I'm doing is just being the devil's advocate here by saying what maybe was going through Sherwood's mind, thinking, maybe if I bring Chadley on here, I'm giving him the indication that he scored a great goal, and go and spur yourself on and, show us what you can do. Well, he did nothing, so... that didn't work. That backfired massively. Hindsight and all that business. But I don't think if we'd have brought Eriksen on, any Spurs fan would have said, well, why didn't he bring Chadley on? Because I think we know that, that goal against Newcastle is not a one-off, but, they're going to be few and far between, aren't they? Those moments of Chadley brilliance. Desperately want him to do well, of course, but from what we've seen so far, I think he probably will be a bit part player. But we'll see. Hopefully he'll be better than that. But bringing on Eriksen was the obvious choice. Later on in the game, there was a couple of injuries, wasn't there? Like Danny Rose had to go off or something, or whoever was left back at the day. And so Townsend, didn't he come on for left back? I'm not sure about all this.
Yeah.
But, a couple of the other substitutes. I'm just trying to see why he didn't bring Eriksen on in the end. He brought Soldado on, of course. You know, and if he hadn't have done that, they'd have said, look, we're 1-0 down, we've got one up front, bring another striker on. So, you know, he's juggling it around. And games like that, you have to say, you know, what was he doing? But, as I always say, you learn from your mistakes and you move on and see how you get on. And the next two games, we obviously won, you know, very unconvincingly. Again, you know, poor performances once again. You know, we're watching some of the worst football. But, you know, all I'll say about the last, you know, this season actually, and the Sherwood period, is I've never known anything like it in terms of poor performances, but picking up the points. I've never known Spurs to do this before. I've known Spurs to play a lot of drivel over the last 20 years. You know, we've played a lot worse than we're playing at the moment, or, you know, we're on par, is it? But we're losing, we've lost all those games. You know, here we are, we're fifth in the league, you know, we are looking ahead rather than looking behind us, and we're playing terribly, possibly the worst I've known it for 10 years or whatever. It's weird. Did you watch the Dnipro game?
Yeah, I've seen it. I was in Portugal. I was in a restaurant while it was on, so, you know, I watched it the best that I could there. But you're right, just to go back there on what you're saying about, and it's something I've said to a few guys, it's unbelievable where we're actually sitting in the league. You know, to be saying that we're 6 points behind Arsenal, 6 points behind Liverpool. Now, you take that Norwich game, if we actually had a performed a month, we'd actually be sitting 3 points with, as you say, the way we're actually performing. It really is crazy. And that's one big plus we'll have to take out of it. But it's the style and, you know, it's the manner of it. The guy honestly thought with Dnipro, the way we performed out there, like, we were the far superior team, bar, you know, their left winger who Liverpool and I think Spurs tried to sign. And I expected us to go out and be very, very comfortable on the night, but again, we made it so, so difficult. And it really wasn't until the sending off, Steve, you know, that the game actually changed. And there was that 10-minute period where Spurs were absolutely fantastic. You know, they were electric. They looked, there was pace about the game. You know, there was a bit of fight about them. Maybe that scuffle and the sending off just, you know, got them fired up. But, you know, even after we went 3-1 up, you know, the last 10 minutes against 10 men, we were on the back foot, and it took Lloris to make a couple of great saves, you know, to still keep us in the tie. And it was just another strange evening. And were you at the game yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when they scored, I thought, you know, here we go again. I'm going to have to leave early, you know, to get myself home and tucked up in bed. But I thought, no, we'll stick out this one. Of course, we did score. I don't normally celebrate unless we're back in the game, so I didn't really celebrate that goal. I didn't really celebrate Adebayor's first either, because I thought, you know, we're still out of the tie at the moment. And then he got the third brilliant goal, and, you know, that was like great. But, you know, the game was on a knife edge, because if they score, they go through. But we played, like you say, for the last 10 minutes, 15 minutes, like we were through. You know, like we were 3-1 up, and we weren't. It was 3-2, and by the way, if they'd have scored, that would have been, you know, that would have been it. And, you know, more so that the humiliation. I know lots of people wanted to stay in that competition and were desperate, you know, are desperate to get to the final. You know, my thoughts about it. But you know, just going into work the next day and to say, you know, how'd you get on last night? And, oh, you know, we lost to Dnipro, who you never heard of, so... you know, we've got to save face on some of these these games and beat them.
They're going to have to, they're really, like this month coming up, they're so going to have to up their performance. You know, with Chelsea, Arsenal, Benfica twice, Southampton and Liverpool. You know, this is, these next five games makes our season. And this tells us whether we're still going to be in there for sure, because the last six games, Steve, are very, very winnable for us. You know, they're against all the lower end teams. And I can't remember where we've actually had a run at the end of a season where, you know, they're very, very winnable games. Usually there's still a Liverpool or an Arsenal, you know, or away to Man United edged in between those games. You know, so this is make or break. Plus, you know, Arsenal's at home and Southampton's at home, you know, which to me are very winnable for us. But we're going to have to, something's going to have to click. And maybe, you know, maybe it's Mr. Soldado popped up and somebody got his goal from open play, and maybe that just might just be a wee spark that we maybe need. But again, if you go into Sunday's game, Steve, you know, I'll chat about the first half. You know, I was sitting watching it on a dodgy link, and it was very, very similar to the Norwich game, where I was sitting going, I don't know if we're going to score. That's just how it felt. But to be fair, you know, Adebayor, fantastic control, great ball in, Soldado took it. You know, that's what we're expecting, that's what we know we can do. But then I sort of thought about it, well, has he really been given those chances? I know the one against Norwich, like, he fleshed that, you know, and he probably should have put it away. But, you know, that's what the guy's all about. And obviously the relief in his face when he scored was great. And I think the whole crowd absolutely loved it. Everybody was delighted, you know, that he got that goal. I'm just got to hope that's maybe the spark, you know, that can maybe set him, you know, with a partnership with Adebayor off for these games. But I'm not sure whether Sherwood will go with both of them against Chelsea. You know, it's more likely going to go with five in midfield, you know, with one up front against them. So it'll be interesting to see if Soldado actually starts on Saturday. But there's such an improvement Steve needs to be. And it's about us enjoying it as well, you know. And it's a bit of Crystal Palace game that I chatted about whenever I was over. Like, I've never come out of White Hart Lane after a victory and sort of felt quite downbeat about a performance. And I just don't know what it is. It's so strange. So strange.
Yeah, I've never known it. Like I say, I've been to plenty of these games where we play this poorly and we lose 1-0. And I've been to games where we play brilliant and lose 1-0. You know, to watch this type of football where, you know, people say that Sherwood hasn't got a clue and it's all down on Sherwood. I mean, I absolutely blame the players. You know, Sherwood doesn't say to them, right, go out there and pass it out of play. You know, he surely can't say to them, you know, don't find a white shirt, whatever you do. You know, take the prime example in the last 5 minutes. There was two or three times when we were breaking clear. And, you know, there was one moment with Lennon who was great on the day. He played much better than he has done recently. And he just had to pick out a pass. And he doesn't just fluff it. He fluffs it majorly. Like, gives it straight to the Cardiff guy. And, you know, how easy would it have been to either go round him or do something else or something like that? You know, and then Harry Kane, he had his big chance and he fluffed it. And you just think to yourself, you know, this is not Sherwood saying to Harry Kane, I'll tell you what, when you get the ball, in the, you know, with 5 yards out, just to keep it a beat, whack it straight at him. And he's not saying that to him, is he? You know, and like those two chances go in, it's a completely different game. Think of the Arsenal-Cardiff game a month ago, when it was 0-0 up until 2 minutes to go, and they won the game 2-0, and no one's even talking about the fact that they played poorly. You know, it's a 2-0 win, it's solid, that's the way it looks on paper. And if we win 2-0, we may well be having a different conversation. But the fact is that it's 1-0, it looks dodgy, and it was dodgy. I mean, it was a poor performance. But like I say, Sherwood isn't telling the players not to pass to a white shirt. So that's what does my head in.
I agree with what you're saying, but I sort of thought about this as well, and I don't know what you feel on it. Do you feel that some of the players, and I don't know whether this is Sherwood's fault, but because Sherwood's there, have maybe nearly given up? You know, some of them look like, I'm going to put out an example, Jan Vertonghen. That guy's face on the football pitch, and even his performances, and we've never slagged Vertonghen off, I don't think many Spurs fans have, but these last 2, 3, 4 games, he has really, really frustrated me. He just looks as if he doesn't want to be there. You know, I couldn't tell you the last time I've seen him smile on the pitch. And he actually hasn't performed that well. You know, if you think about Norwich, there was a couple of times he was quite dodgy, quite lazy looking at the back. And I've sort of went to myself, have some of these guys, just because maybe they feel, oh, this guy's in, and maybe they don't believe what he's saying to them. You know, even though this guy, you know, Sherwood's won the Premier League, but, you know, he's never managed, you know, at the highest level. And I sort of feel, is there a few guys that have maybe just given up the ghost or are already thinking about going their summer holidays or going to the World Cup? You know, that's the feeling I sort of get about it. And that's where I worry, have we got a strong enough character as in Sherwood, you know, to get them going? Or some of them, are they just sitting there listening to him in the change room going, yeah, dead on, mate, whatever. We'll just go out and do whatever we want to do. And I sort of think that possibly could be happening, but I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong on that.
Well, whose fault is that then?
Yeah, but the players, yes, you're right. But also, they don't have, in their eyes, a top-end manager that's there to motivate them, to get them going. Yeah, no, I agree.
What a way to think of things. Who's this bloke strutting around telling us how to play, that we want to win today, go and get stuck into them, pass the ball around, get it out to the wing, you know, whatever Sherwood's saying. I don't know, he's definitely not saying, hey, listen, you know, after 20 minutes, just pass it out of play. You know, don't have any shots today, lads. Let's just pass it around and, you know, give them the ball. He's not saying that, is he? So people like Vertonghen, people like Paulinho, who's Dembele, and people like that, whose game has just gone, you know, massively downhill recently, need to have a look at themselves and think, you know, what's going on. You know, they're all obviously going to the World Cup, and if that's the reason for the dip in form, or perhaps the fact that Liverpool and Man City and Arsenal and all the rest of them are so far away in terms of points, you know, they're thinking, however much effort we put in, we're not going to get there. You know, and that's maybe what they're thinking. But again, as professional footballers, you've got to think, no, we've got to keep going. And we've seen it before with teams when we're in the top four. You know, Arsenal being the prime example, being a team that's gone, you know, we've got 10 games left, we're going to knuckle down and we're going to win them all. And that's what they've done the last couple of seasons, catching us up. With regards to, you know, other sides, you know, they fight and they keep going and they don't give up the ghost. And, you know, if these players, you know, feel like that, you know, who's this bloke talking to us? Tim Sherwood, who's he? Well, sorry, you know, you're a professional footballer. You shouldn't need someone telling you, you know, not to pass it out of play or how to take a corner correctly and where to stand and who to mark and, you know, get yourself ready for the World Cup.
You know, what you're saying, they're professional footballers. This is the problem nowadays, Steve, with the modern day professional footballer.
They need someone who's going to come in and kick teacups over. Well, they don't want that either, do they?
No, not even that. There, I think they're all so much in their own hype. You know, as we say, we're diehards. We're diehard Spurs fans. We'd do anything for Spurs to win a game. Most of these guys aren't. You know, Michael Dawson gets a load of stick, but you know one thing about Michael Dawson, he's 100%. Every game he's the armband on, and yes, he might mess up and he might do a few stupid things, but you know what, that guy would go out and bleed for any one of us to win a game for Spurs. But could you say that about Mel? You know, and that is this, and you can say it across all the teams in the league. These are modern day footballers who majority of them are probably more interested in how much they're going to bring home and getting out of White Hart Lane as quick as they can after the game, just to go out for a fancy meal or to do something else. This is the problem I think you have these days. But look, I could be completely on the wrong track. I'm just trying to look at it. You know, I personally, I don't rate Sherwood. I do. I've said it before. I think he's out of his depth. I sat and watched him the game against Crystal Palace and I felt he looked lost. But, you know, he's been given a job and, you know, we're all trying to back him. But unfortunately, yes, the results haven't been too bad, but the performances, Steve, have not, by no way means, improved from AVB left. And it just really worries me. It really worries me. And, you know, the big test now is these next five games. This is going to show us where we are. And it's also going to show us what players actually want to fight for us and actually try and do something.
Well, we got these massive games coming up. And then, as you say, we've got a half-decent run going in. I can't see this Spurs side, unless we completely capitulate, losing all these games. We're too good for that. We've got too many good players to just go into the Arsenal, the Chelsea, the Liverpool and the Benfica games and lose them all. So, you know, hopefully we'll have a bit of success. Me personally, I'd trade four losses for a win against Arsenal. you know, stop them winning the league or whatever. But, you know, that's just the way I think. Sorry if that offends people, because I shouldn't be thinking about Arsenal, but I do, and that's the way I follow football. And, you know, who is anybody to tell anybody how they should and who they should hate and dislike or love, or how they should feel about a particular team? I don't like Arsenal, and I want to beat them. Desperately.
And Arsenal are on a downslide, and you know, we've said it before, wouldn't it be just fantastic if it was our turn? You know, what they've done to us with the mind the gap thing over the past few years, you know, for us to actually claw that back and you know, to actually take over them and pit them for the fourth spot. But you know, one of the big things for me now is, and I know we weren't to start, but I think this Europa Cup, you know, this is a chance of silverware, Steve. Benfica are in fantastic form. Actually, my taxi driver, we had a guy that was looking after us for the whole week we were there, was taking us about the place, and he was a massive Benfica fan, and obviously he found out I was a Spurs fan, and so we had a bit of banter in the car and a bit of a chat. But you know, he was chatting about Benfica are actually on all four fronts. I think they're top of their league, they're going for their cup, and they're going for something else, and they're going for the Europa League. You know, they're in fantastic form, a really good side. So look, it's going to be tough, but you know, we get through that there. The draw hasn't been made for the semi final, has it?
No, I think they did the quarters and the semis together.
Yeah. So you know, like, we get through this here against Benfica, you know, it's a massive chance of silverware. So I'm really quite excited about that end of it now. I personally think top four is just out of our grasp for these games. You know, I'm really worried about these Chelsea games, and more so Chelsea than Liverpool. But as you say, you know, I'd take beating Arsenal and beating Benfica, and I'd be quite a happy man, I think.
Yeah, absolutely lovely. I mean, you know, my thoughts on the Europa is that it is a pain, like a lot of Spurs fans do think. With winning a trophy, it'll be lovely for us, and we'll dance around our front rooms and what have you. But we don't have any, it doesn't give us any one-upmanship on Arsenal, because, you know, you're going to work the next day. Yeah, we won the Europa Cup. Yeah, we got a trophy, you haven't. They're like, well, wait there, we're not in it, because we're in the proper Champions League European trophy. You know, it's like going in and saying, oh, to York City fan coming up to you and saying, yeah, we've won the Johnson Pakes trophy and you haven't. You're like, well, we're not in that. So that's the only trouble I have with it, although we'd love to win it, and it'd be great, you know, for us to lift a trophy. And like I say, we'll do the merry jig around the front room, but you know, it doesn't give us any bragging rights over Arsenal or Chelsea, unfortunately. Although Chelsea won it last year, so at least they won't be able to say, oh, it's Mickey Mouse, because they celebrated last year like it was you know, equal to the Champions League. You know, let's just get into Sherwood a little bit more here. One of the things that you know, really, really does great on me is this whole you know, Sherwood out thing. Look, when I say we've got to support Sherwood, I'm not saying that Sherwood is the answer. You know, Sherwood should have been appointed, anything like that. When he was appointed, I was like, right, okay. Not happy about it, because I wanted someone better with more experience and all the other things that everybody says you need. But the decision had been made. Now, there's nothing you can do about it. You can moan and you can complain and what have you. But at the end of the day, when the team steps over the white line next game, you've got to support them, because I'm a Tottenham fan. And so I've got to get behind them. And I can't spend the next or the rest of the season slagging him off, because that won't do any good. I mean, it's like in a football match when you've made all these substitutions and there's 20 minutes to go. So there's a good proportion of the game left, but the manager has brought on someone who you don't particularly like. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to moan and complain for the last 20 minutes when you've got a chance? Or you're going to get behind him and go, right, well, the manager's made that decision. We've got last 20 minutes. There's no more subs left to make. So what we're going to do? Well, you can either go home because you've just given up, or you can moan and complain and boo and what have you, neither of those two things are going to do any good. Or you can get behind them and go, right, come on then, show us what you got. You know, do whatever you need to do and let's really support you for this last 20 minutes. You know, so this is like the last 20 minutes of our season, you know what I mean, in the grand scheme of things. We've got 10 or 11 games left. We can't get rid of Sherwood, A, because Levy won't do that, and B, who's going to come in? I mean, people are talking about Louis van Gaal coming in. Well, there's no way he's coming in until the summer. We know that already. But even then, I mean, this is just going off topic slightly, even then, will he come to Tottenham? You know, everyone's like, oh yeah, he said he wants to come. So some journalist has gone up to Louis van Gaal at some point and said, oh, what about the Tottenham job? And he's just gone, yeah, you know, I'll think about it. Premiership, yeah, seems pretty good. And then it's like, oh, front page or back page news. Louis van Gaal wants the Spurs job. Well, he's not said that. It's not definite. And like one guy tweeted me, you know, with Spurs, you're never sure of something until it's there. There's a photo of them holding the shirt or the scarf. You know, take the William thing back in the summer. So, you know, jumping on the bandwagon about van Gaal and all, he's going to be the man. Listen, I don't want to be, in the summer, some Man U fan coming up to me going, ha ha, you thought you were having van Gaal and we've just got him. And I'll be like, well, wait there. No, go and listen to my podcast, because I said back in March that I'm not sure if we're going to get him or not. So let's just calm down about the van Gaal thing. Back to Sherwood then. We can moan, we complain, you know, but at the end of the day, he's our manager for the next 10, 12 games. We've got to get behind him, because for goodness sake, the bloke, you know, he's what we've got, and we've got to go with it. We can't change him now. You know, what's going to happen? Oh, boo, get him out. He goes out, who's going to come in? There isn't anybody. So we've got to get behind him. It doesn't make sense to boo and slag him off and say this, that and the other, to get him out or whatever. What good's that going to do? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Like, obviously, you're there at the games. Is the crowd giving him stick in the stadium?
No, not particularly. Not particularly,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, because obviously we're seeing it, and where I'm just hearing it, obviously it's on Twitter and Facebook, you know, and I obviously don't know whether that would be getting through to where Sherwood is, so that's why I was just wondering.
Yeah, but what would the crowd like, what would he and the fans think if, for example, Tim Sherwood's Blue and White Army started up, right? His ears would prick up. Right, the players might look around, the people like Jan Vertonghen, the people like Paulinho, the people like Dembele might think, oh, wait there, the Spurs fans are getting behind this guy. Right, all right then, I better think about my future and if the Spurs... But all the while the Spurs fans aren't doing anything to support Tim Sherwood, you're right, the players are going, well, he's not going to be here anyway, so, you know, I'm not going to be here, let's all just go on our summer holidays now.
Yeah, no, great point. And look, it's a point that we've brought up quite a few times across the season, has been the atmosphere at White Hart Lane this year. Now, I've only been twice this year, and it's been shocking. I was speaking to Davey Elder, the Spurs poet, who was over for the Cardiff game on Sunday, and I was chatting to him yesterday, and I said, you know, what was the atmosphere like? And
he won't remember a thing.
I know we had quite a few beers in him, I think. But he did say to me, it was poor. He said there was a bit of good banter with the Cardiff fans and things about being blue and whatever. He says, but the atmosphere was poor. And you're right, you know, we need, you know, the crowd possibly, you know, as you say, he's there. Look, we've got to support him, we've got to get behind him. And especially you guys that are there at the games, you know, get a Tim Sherwood's Blue and White Army, just see if it helps.
Yeah, exactly.
Just
swallow your pride and just sing it and then see what happens.
Yeah.
You know? We've got to do everything we can. We've got to do everything we can to keep in this race. Yeah. A win at Liverpool looks so unlikely, but I'm sorry. Aston Villa got a draw there the other day. You know, Swansea lost 4-3, didn't they?
Yeah.
You know, they're, we lose games. I mean, who did we lose to? Fulham last year, 1-0, Berbatov. We drew with Blackpool a couple of years ago when we were clear to win. Aston Villa a couple of seasons ago away when, you know, they're doing nothing. And so it happens to us all the time where it's like, yep, 3 points today and, you know, five or six games to go and we're right in the hunt. So if we can get that result, the Arsenal result, you know, even Chelsea coming up, we've got Chelsea and they've got this winning streak under Mourinho, or not, you know, not the losing streak. To be honest, I don't think we'll get it and I don't think Arsenal will get it. I think it'll be like a mid-table, you know, Newcastle or something will go and end that streak, you know, when no one's thinking they will, but, you know, we'll see about that. That's all we can do, get behind them and hope that we do it and we do it undeservedly. I mean, for goodness sake, how many times have we deserved something and not got it? Like the Champions League a couple of years ago, we finished fourth and some stupid UEFA rule, I like to call it the Tottenham rule, because no other team in the history of any sport ever has not entered a competition, not been in a competition, but not been entered it for the next year because even though they weren't in it, someone else won it, and that means that you're not in it. You know, the joke was that Engelbert Humperdinck was going to win the Eurovision that year and we'd be out of Europa as well. So, you know, it's the Tottenham. We're the only club that can be affected by it as well. Because imagine we finish fourth, Man City finish fifth, and they win the Champions League this year. We'll be out of it again. It's the Tottenham rule, the UEFA Tottenham rule, to keep us out of Champions League. No other club ever suffers from it. So, look, what was he talking about?
I don't know, we've forgot the transfer
game. But we've got these games left and we've got to get behind the team, yeah, because right. What else can we do?
For a season at White Hart Lane, I can never remember a season where our home games have felt more dread about our home games than our away games. You know, it's unreal, and there is a tension around that stadium, and you know, we've all probably become a bunch of moaners, you know, and it's so true. People love to say Spurs fans they're fickle and they think they're this and think they're that, you know, but you know, this year at home we have become a bunch of moaners, and you know, we just need to get some atmosphere in that ground.
Do you know one more thing,
Steve, I wanted to ask you,
yeah,
what was it like at the European game,
you know, right,
with the 1882 boys there?
Brilliant.
Was there a better atmosphere?
Yes, it was fantastic. It was a brilliant atmosphere, and well done to Flav. You know, he likes to play down the fact that he's, you know, not really, you know, the instigator of all this, but of course he is. I mean, it's just going from strength to strength. It's absolutely brilliant, that 1882 movement, and you know, the pub was great. I met to Trunk as well, who does right.
the other.
Rule the Roost, the 3¾-hour weekly podcast, which I sit through, by the way, every single week. You know, that's great. And he was a really nice guy. And I love his little wind-ups with his missus as well. It's very funny, and with Ricky. But so that was brilliant. And, you know, you know, so we can do it. You know, we need the young guys in their 20s who want to get down the lane and stand up and, you know, shout and scream and all that. Bring it on. Brilliant. I'm too old for all that now.
I've said it before, next season, they have to try and designate a couple of areas behind that goal, near the away fans, for a singing section. I think they're doing it at Old Trafford. You know, you're told if you've got a season ticket up there, do you want to stand and sing? You know, or do you want to sing? If you don't, like, we can offer you this part. If you want to let the guys that want to sing be in there. You know, most other grounds, like when I was at Old Trafford last year, the Stretford end was fantastic. And people slag United fans off about being quiet. The Stretford end, even though we were beating them that day, the atmosphere was electric. So it was from them. And that's what we need to do. We need to get, you know, we're a small, tight, compact ground. That place should be bouncing. Should be absolutely bouncing, and any away fans that come there should realise, here, we're not going to be able to sit here and out-sing these home fans the whole game.
Okay, mate. I've just written a couple of things down here, which I'll just go over quickly, and then you can finish up. What I was talking about when I said I've forgotten was we were talking about the way that football isn't fair, and the fact that you know, all these things conspire against Tottenham, and you know, but maybe we can do it without playing well this year. Last season, if you remember rightly, at the end of the season, I said, you know, we've had a great season. We had had a great season, haven't we? And Arsenal had had a rubbish season, but they, you know, the summer holidays were spent talking to everybody about, actually, Spurs have had a great season and Arsenal have had a rubbish season, but they finish above us. Well, this year, it's the opposite, isn't it? Because Arsenal have had a great season and we've had a rubbish season. So hopefully, quite undeservedly, we will get there. It's very hopeful, though, saying that. And, of course, Chelsea, who won the European Cup, you know, the Champions League and the Europa Cup, both with having, what, a quarter of the number of chances, and the opposition side missing penalties and, you know, not playing well in either of those games. So, you know, with a bit of luck, we'll do it ugly, and but, you know, we can turn around and say, look, you know, we're there. You know, but we'll see how we get on. There's loads of games to go. The other thing I wrote down, you know, lots of people going on about Suarez and Bale, and I've tweeted about this, and I just want to make this clear. There is no comparison between Suarez and Bale and the sales of those two players. The fact is that we got offered 80 million, which is a world record, for Bale, which, you know, reluctantly we sold him for. And Suarez got a bid of 40 million. And, you know, I'm only going on the things that we know here. We don't know the ins and outs and what's have you. And I'm not going to speculate or guess or whatever, as one Twitter person asked me to do. This is just what we generally know as football fans. So the fact is that Suarez, Liverpool were offered 40 million for Suarez. We were offered 80 million for Bale. Now, if it's out the other way round, so say, Cole, we were offered 40 million and a pound for Bale by Arsenal, and Suarez were offered 80 million by Real Madrid, which player do you think is going?
Yeah, you're right, Suarez.
Suarez would have gone. Yeah. Suarez would have gone, as people rightly said, for 60 million or 65 million. And they would have probably sold him to Arsenal, which we, of course, would never have done. Right? So the Bale-Suarez deal thing is totally off the table. It's not even a comparison. The only comparison you can make with selling Bale is the ultimate non-selling club, which is Man United. Man United are a non-selling club. They do not sell their best players ever, ever, ever. Apart from once, when they sold Ronaldo. And they sold him because Ronaldo, they were offered ridiculous money, around 80 million as well, right? And they just turned around and said, you know, it's 80 million, what can you do? Go on then, you know, he's yours for that amount of money. So that's the only comparison you can make. Right, so all this Spurs are a selling club business. Sorry, every club is a selling club for the right price. There's no club has ever turned down 80 million, as far as I know. Do you know any club that's turned down 80 million for a player, Cole?
I think we turned down 80 million and got 85.
There you go, right? So, but Suarez, Liverpool didn't turn down 80 million, you know, because, well, they're not a selling club. You know, Man United weren't offered 80 million for Rooney, were they, from Chelsea? Probably about 35 or something. So there's no comparison there.
Yeah.
And people don't know what happened in the boardroom and with those phone calls and what have you. In the end, you know, we sold him, and good luck to him, because he was brilliant the other night when I watched him in that Real Madrid thing. And the thing, and the crowning point, of course, with the Bale thing, of course, is that picture of him as a kid in a Real Madrid shirt. And that, again, just shows that, you know what, as much as we love Spurs and we think no one should ever, ever, ever want to leave Spurs, this guy was a Real Madrid fan as a kid growing up, and he's living his dream. And, you know, that's probably why when Levy said, listen, do you fancy going for 80 million? He said, absolutely. And then, of course, Levy said, right, well, you're not going until the end of the window, until they get all the players in, blah, 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 blah. And the rest is history. Right, anything more you want to say, mate?
Just one final thing. Obviously, this Friday night is the Northern Ireland. We've got our Legends night. You know, obviously, Davey, the Spurs poet, has organised there with the Lisburn Supporters Club. So I just want to put it out there again to anybody listening from Northern Ireland, if you're looking at a ticket, there's about 20 or 25 tickets left. Obviously, we've got Martin Chivers and Cliff Jones coming over. It's a fantastic opportunity for any real Spurs fan, or even non-Spurs fan, to come and meet these two guys and listen to their stories. some of the prizes Davey has got organised are unreal. He was at my work there the other day, or a few weeks ago, and he had a signed Steve Perryman shirt, you know, and, you know, programmes and other signed stuff from Jimmy Greaves. And, you know, some of the stuff on offer for auction and a raffle ticket on the night are going to be unreal. So, look, there's only a small amount of tickets left. If you're interested, contact ourselves on the Twitter or on Facebook, or Davey at the Spurs Poet on Twitter or Facebook. And look, myself and Davey will get you organised, you know, with tickets for the night. But look, guys, if you're thinking about it and you're sort of having had 20 quid, you know, what an opportunity. We obviously had Graham Roberts and Steve Sedgley over the last time, and it was an amazing night. Everybody that was there loved it. Don't miss out on these two guys.
Come and meet you.
So get in touch with us.
Meet you.
Come and meet me as well. Oh, and here, if another wee announcement. I heard that I'm going to meet Mr. McGovern. Jason Adebayor McGovern.
Absolutely.
I hear him and his lovely wife are coming over to Northern Ireland. And I heard, I've just seen there, that his wife cannot wait to meet me.
Oh.
So,
well, she's met the B team, me, and now it's your turn.
She wants to come over and meet the main man.
Well, look, Jason was brilliant. He sat next to me in the game, and my goodness, yeah. You know, he loves his Spurs. He knows them inside and out. And we were talking about different games from years gone by, and he was like, right, yeah, that's when that incident happened down there and over there. And I'm like, blooming hell, yeah. Brilliant. So really, fantastic stuff.
Jason, I'm really looking forward to meeting you. And I know Davey was absolutely delighted that you said taking time out of your trip over to England to, you know, to fly over. And we will make you more than welcome on the night, mate. So looking forward to it.
All right, mate. Well, look, you know, it's not all doom and gloom. We're playing poorly, but we're getting results. And, you know, the only way is up. And, you know, come on, you Spurs.
Yeah, mind the gap. I'm going to put it out there. Mind the gap, Arsenal. You know, I'm actually going to start at Twitter. At Mind the Gap.
We'll see how we get on.
Spurs. Come on.
Keep your peckers up.